the Lord has laid it on my heart. I've been preparing for quite a while now, asking God to lay a message on my heart, and I feel like He did so. And we are dealing with a generation who feels forgotten. And the reason why I can say that is because none of the older folk want to deal with us, because sometimes we get too out of hand. They call us Generation X. And if we're not careful, we can develop that mindset that there is no hope for this generation. And the fact of the matter is, that is a lie. There is still hope. If there is still a cross, there is still hope. If there is still a blood, there is still hope for this generation. If there is still a preacher, if there is still someone who is able to get down on their knees, there is still hope for this generation. I don't look at this generation and get down. I look at this generation and say, encourage them. Preach to them. And that's what I'm coming here to do today. I mean, if you would, we're going to be reading from two different parts of the Bible. But if you would, open up to Romans chapter 12. Stick your finger there. And then open up to John 3:16. We'll be reading very familiar scripture today. John 3:16. We can pretty much all quote it. John 3:16 and 17. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." If I could preach to you this morning on the simple subject, the price tag of salvation. The price tag of salvation. I got a burden on my heart this morning. I mean, I honestly feel as if the Lord is wanting to deal with some young people today. Amen. The price tag of salvation. You're going to help me preach? Amen. I know some of you guys are tired. Help me preach this morning. Amen. Let's all stretch your hands this way. Ask God to help us in this service.
Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you, Lord, if you would.
Yes, would you reach down in this place? Take your word and make it a reality. Illuminate our hearts, Lord. See that which you have.
Help us, God. We need you, Lord. Send the anointing, God. Fill my mind and my mouth with the words to say, God. Help me, Lord, to preach your word this morning, God. Help every heart to be open to receive.
Let your word be flesh among us. Flesh this out in our lives and allow us to live it and put it in action.
Oh, God, deal with us.
Believing that you're going to meet us here, Lord.
Deal with us. Deal with us.
Speak to us, O God.
Deal with us.
Amen. Amen. Today, we find ourselves living in a generation that wants everything without doing anything. We found just about everything at our disposal. If I have a question and if I don't know the answer to something, I can simply just ask Google. I can get on my cell phone and I can check it out on the internet. But when I was younger, believe it or not, dial-up internet just came out. It just started becoming more popular. Sometimes it would take anywhere between 5 to 20 minutes just to get on the internet. Then even then, you didn't know if the answer was going to be on there or not. So the best option would be to go down to the nearest library and look at your history books and look at your science books and try to figure out the answer for the problem that you have. Amen. People want the best possessions. They want the nicest cars. They want the nicest houses, the newest boats, and the best toys. But most don't want to work in order to have those possessions. They would rather have their rich uncle pass away for them to inherit everything that he has than for them to work for it. I mean, we have a generation who has lost their value of working for what they have. I've watched this generation use and abuse the possessions that they have simply because they did not work for it. I've seen people base their lives off of things that other people have done. I've watched, when I was in school, I've watched how, amen, we would be in a group and we would all take credit for one person's work. Amen, people simply just don't want to work for what they have. They want the glory of success, but they don't want to put the blood and the sweat and the tears into it. And I've watched as this mindset has walked into the church world. I've watched how we've adopted this mindset in the church world. I've watched where we look at older saints and we watch their lives and we just wish that we could be consecrated like them. Or we look at someone in the church and we see God use them. They give messages in tongues and interpretations and we just wish and pray that one day that we would be like that. And we look at prominent preachers and we watch the anointing flow and people flood the altars and we sit there and we just wish and we pray for the day that God uses us like that. We have to understand that those people did not get there by happenstance. They didn't get there by just lollygagging their way into their relationship with God. But they sat down and they took the time to pay the price to have the salvation that they have. These people knew what it's like to pay the price in order to have a deep relationship with God. Now, I understand that salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast, but it's purchased by the faith that you have in Jesus Christ. It's by grace through faith that you're able to be saved today. But the thing is, I have to tell you, amen, once you get saved, it's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take some work. If you're going to be saved, it's going to cost you something. The church world has adopted this idea of salvation without sacrifice. And let me tell you this, friend, that is not the way that God has intended it to be. It took sacrifice to get you saved. It's going to take sacrifice for you to make it to heaven. Now, you can't sit there and think that you'll be able to attach yourself to those preachers and attach yourself to that saint of God and make it to heaven based off their relationship. But you are going to have yourself a relationship with God. You are going to have to sacrifice yourself. You are going to know what it's like to pay the price to obtain salvation. Y'all ain't helping me preach this morning. Amen. Well, since we're talking about the price tag of salvation, let's talk about how much it costs to purchase salvation. We read from one of the most popular scriptures known to man, John 3:16. They broadcast it on billboards. They put it on shirts and in the form of a cross. And you can ask just about any sinner what John 3:16 is, and they are able to quote it to you for the most part. But we have to understand that this is not where the story started. A long time ago, the Bible tells me of a man and a woman named Adam and Eve. The Bible says that he walked with Adam in the cool of the day. They had everything at their disposal living in the Garden of Eden. They could do anything. They could eat anything except for one thing they could not do, and that was eat of the fruit of the knowledge, or eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We know the story. The devil comes and he tempts Eve, and we see that Adam and Eve end up eating of the forbidden fruit, and the Bible says that they realized that they were naked. Or they realized that they were in sin. Nakedness here is symbolic to sin. They go on and they make clothes of fig leaves, and God comes looking for him and he asks them, "What have you done?" And he's looking around for him and he says, "Look, I see that you're naked and you're trying to cover yourself in fig leaves, but those fig leaves are not going to cover up your sin." He tells them, there's got to be some bloodshed to cover your sins. So what he does is he slays an animal and he makes them clothes out of that animal. And that was the first time that blood was spilled to cover up someone's sins. From that time there will be thousands of turtle doves slain, thousands of bullocks slain, thousands of rams and thousands of lambs put to death simply for the fact of people had to have atonement for their sins. Week after week, month after month, year after year, thousands of animals lost their lives and the blood was shed for the atonement of sin. But it wasn't enough. You notice when you read in Leviticus, there's the Levitical law. And he starts talking about how you should offer sacrifice, but it's only lasting for so long. It will only go for so long because if you commit a trespass again, you're going to have to come and offer another sacrifice. And it's not a sacrifice that will keep you forever. So God, he made a plan, and we call it God's plan for redemption. You ready for it? This is his plan. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. That is God's plan. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He sent his Son to come to this world. He knew what he'd have to endure. He knew that he'd have to endure the cross, but he sent him anyways for your sins and for my sins. Now, we're not done here yet. When Christ came to this world, he came here as a babe in the manger. And as he grew up, he was persecuted, mocked, questioned, and made fun of. He would be betrayed by one of his closest disciples. Christ had to deal with the mental stress of dying on the cross while feeling the abandonment of the Father. He no doubt knew the pain and the torture that he would have to endure. He would have to endure whipping, being whipped by a cat of nine tails, which is a device that is used to rip flesh off the body. He would be spat upon and mocked by having a crown of thorns set upon his head. And as they would push it down, his forehead would swell. And then it would make it deeper and deeper. He'd be beaten down just to be nailed to a cross. As he was standing there, nailed to the cross in his own shame. Amen. He would cry out, "It is finished." And God would finally look at the sacrifice and say, "It is sufficient. It is sufficient for the taking away of sin. It is sufficient for the washing away of sin. It is sufficient for the atonement of sin. It is sufficient. It is 100% finished. This is a perfect sacrifice. I will accept this sacrifice." How wonderful it is that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for my sins. I thank God for the fact that I'm saved this morning. I thank God for the fact that he sent his Son to die on the cross for me. I was out in the sin and I was out doing whatever I wanted to do. Amen. But he died for me even though I was in sin. He loved me even though I was in sin. And he knew that I would have need of atonement. This was the cost to purchase salvation. It took the Son of God sacrificing his life so that we might be saved. And oftentimes we don't think about it much. Oftentimes, whenever salvation ends up becoming a dilemma, we forget about it. Sometimes we take communion and not even shed a tear for the fact that it was his body broken for your sins and for my sins. Sometimes we take communion and we drink of that wine or grape juice and we drink it and don't even think about the blood that was shed for us to be saved. Oh, what a sacrifice. Oh, what a sacrifice that was made to purchase salvation. I said it earlier, it took sacrifice to get you saved, but it's going to take sacrifice to keep you saved. We've talked about the cost to purchase salvation, and that was the blood of my Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's talk about the cost to obtain salvation. We understand this morning that because of love being slain on the cross, the blood was sufficient not only for the atonement of our sins, but the washing away of our sins. No longer do we have to offer up sacrifices of bullocks and rams because he was the perfect lamb. I am no longer accountable for the sins that I have committed because now, because of him, I am justified. I know I can have dominion over sin because I am resurrected with Christ. Amen. Thank God for that. Thank God for the fact that I'm no longer accountable for my sins. And while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. While I was out in sin, though he slay, oh, God, help us to understand that we need to know what it's like to lay our life down for God. I no longer have dominion. No, I'm sorry. I have dominion over sin because I'm resurrected with Christ. But let me tell you this, friend. No, we're not offering up sacrifices of bullocks and rams. You no longer have to see me drag a lamb to church and slay him on the altar. That is not what God requires of us anymore. But there is something that God does require of us. And we read it in Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In order for salvation to be obtained in one's life, he must be willing to give his life unto God. Nowhere in the Word do you read that you can have salvation without sacrifice. That is not biblical. That is nowhere in the Bible, and you can debate it all you want to. It is not in the Bible that you can't serve God without giving sacrifices, and the sacrifice is of a contrite heart and of a pure mind. Lay your lives down as a sacrifice. A man must be able to say, he must decrease, but I must decrease. He must be able to say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He must be able to say, I die daily. That is what the Christian must be able to say. No, I'm not offering sacrifices of bullocks and rams, but I'm laying my life down as a sacrifice, which is my reasonable service. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. It ain't easy. It ain't easy. Now, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. How many of us have dreams in here? You have a vision for your life. Oh, don't be ashamed. Raise your hand. You have dreams for your life. You have a will for your life. You have a desire for your life. Do we all? And it's hard when all of a sudden you're walking down the path of righteousness and God says, you can't go down that road. You have that special talent and you've won a scholarship to college, to the college of your dreams. But then God knocks on your heart and he says, I don't want you to go to that college. I want you to go to Bible college. But God, I've been planning for this for 4 years now. I've been wanting to do this all of my life. I've been wanting to attend this college for as long as I can remember. Why can't I lay your life down as a sacrifice? It's hard that when you're in a relationship and it seems as if everything is going okay, they fit in your family, and you guys are getting along just great, and then God comes by one night and tells you that's not the guy or the girl for you. It's hard. It is very hard. Because you've already got yourselves attached to that person. And then God comes in. He says, that is not the person that I want you to marry. You've got to lay your life down as a sacrifice. It's hard. It's hard when you're part of a program and you feel socially accepted and you feel as if you can be completely yourself. But God speaks to you and tells you to draw away from that and to draw closer to Him. Well, God, I feel socially acceptable here. I get made fun of at school, but when I come here, I feel comfortable. Why are you wanting me to do this? Lay your life down as a sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. I have dreams. My dreams have been crushed for the will of God. I'm going to be honest with you. Moving to Ohio has been the best thing that has ever happened to me, but it was hard. I had an awesome paying job, and it was very potential. I'll be making a lot of money there, but God seemed fit to move me somewhere else. I had dreams one day I was going to have a house in Maryland on the riverside. I was going to have a boat. I had dreams. That's what was going to happen. That's what Austin was going to do. But then one day, God reached down. He said, no, son, I've got a different plan for you. You're going to go to Ohio, and you're going to sacrifice your life. And you're going to go up there, and you're going to do my will. It's hard. It's hard. But let me tell you this, it has been the best thing that I've ever done in my life. It has been the best thing that I've ever done in my life, laying my life down as a sacrifice. Yes, it hurt. Yes, it was rough. But let me tell you this, it has been so rewarding. It's not even funny. Hallelujah. There's been peace of mind beyond all understanding. I'm now able to stand up here and say I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed out begging for bread. He has taken care of me all because I laid my life down as a sacrifice. Now you have to answer a question today. If God spoke to you right now and told you to break up with your boyfriend or break up with your girlfriend, would you do it? Would you do it? If God spoke to you and said, you've been hanging out with the crowd I don't want you to hang out with anymore. I know you feel socially acceptable. You've got to get out of it. Would you get out of it? Or would you dismiss it and live your life the way that you want to? If you were about to pack up and go to college, and you didn't even pray about it, and God spoke to you and said, listen, I don't want you to go there. I want you to go over here, or I want you to stay where you're at. What would you do? But God, these are my dreams. These are the things that I've hoped for. What would you do? Would you be willing to lay your life down? Would you be willing to sacrifice your time? Would you be willing to pick up and go wherever God told you to go? Would you be willing? Because I'm going to tell you this now. Jesus Christ left all of his splendor. He left glory to come down to lay his life down for us. It's our reasonable service for us to do it for him. Yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It is our reasonable service for us to do it for him. There's an old story that was told of a Greek marathon. The story has it. The most muscular, most trained runners would enter that race. All nervously and anxiously getting warmed up for the marathon, stretching out their limbs and getting ready. They say in the midst of all there was a young man there. They say he looked at him and you just knew he was ready. They said his physique was amazing. He said you could look at him and you could see that his body has been conditioned for the race. And you could just tell that guy's going to win. They said he paid no attention to the other racers, as if it seemed there was no one around him and he was on a mission. The prize of winning that race that day was the most eloquent bouquet of flowers and the honor to sit next to the king for the duration of the rest of the events that day. Right before they lined up at the starting line, he had one person walk up to him and offer him a large sum of money if he didn't race. Another person walked up and offered him property if he didn't get first place. Another person threatened his very life if he was to win. Well, they all lined up. Get ready. Get set. Go. Right off the starting line, he's first. And at the finish line, he's first. And after the race was over, some people walk up to him and started asking him questions. They asked him if the bouquet of flowers was really worth that large sum of money that he turned away. Was the bouquet of flowers really worth the property that you let go of? Was it really worth you might be losing your life? Was it really worth that? He spoke up and he said, I didn't enter the race for any money or for the possessions that I was offered. I entered the race so I could sit down beside my king. Nothing in this world is worth the price of that reward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ain't that what we're doing today? Amen. We're running a race. Amen. And we're trying to get it to the finish line. Amen. And we have to understand that nothing in this world, no possessions, no amount of money, no relationship is able to stop me from going all the way and sitting with my king. Hallelujah. 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 He's seen the value in sitting with his king. And he said, nothing else in this world will matter. We're talking about laying your lives down. We're talking about sacrificing some things. It's not very popular preaching nowadays, I guess. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm tired of watching my generation get wishy-washy with Christ.
I'm aggravated with it.
I've watched it happen to my very best of friends, and I am done with it. I'm going to tell you, friend, you've got to get your heart right. You've got to make sure that you're willing to pay the price. You've got to make sure that you're willing to pay the price. If you're not willing, you're playing games. You're playing games, and I'd rather you get out than play games. If you're going to continue to play games, don't even play at all. Be done with it. That didn't settle very well. If you're going to continue to play games, listen to me. If you're going to continue to play games, either get your heart right or get out. That's how it is. It's either right or wrong. It's either black or white. There's no in between. Brother Shane, come up here real quick if you don't mind. If I was to offer you $10, would you give up your salvation? Okay. I thought that was going to work. If I was to offer you $100, would you give up your salvation? If I was to offer you, can I do this? If I was to offer you $1,000, we got that? Okay. I'll give it to you later. If I was to offer you, I owe you. If I was to offer you $1,000 for you to give up your salvation, would you do it? All right, let's raise the stakes a little bit. I'm going to have to save some money here. It's going to be a while. If I was to offer you $100,000, would you give up your salvation? I'm going to have to take a loan from Donald Trump. If I was to offer you $1 million, would you give up your salvation? No. No. Good. Good. And this is the thing. Many of us will not take money for our salvation, but we are so willing to take our relationships for our salvation instead. Many of us are not willing to take money for our salvation, but as soon as God starts telling us to delete our Facebook, come on now. As soon as God tells us to give up something that we value so much, we give up our salvation as if it was never a cost to us in the first place. You won't take $1 million. You won't take $1 million. But why is it so easy for us to look at things that we shouldn't look at and say that we're saved? Why is it so easy for us to be in relationships that we shouldn't be in and say that we're saved? Why is it so easy for us to involve ourselves in things that takes us out of church and to say that we're saved? You know what you're doing? You're saying, I don't want $1,000, but I want this relationship more than I want God. And God, I know you've convicted me of it, but leave me alone. I want nothing to do with it. I want this relationship. You're walking on dangerous grounds. You need to make sure that your heart is right before God. Why is it so easy for us, as soon as we find something valuable, to find salvation so invaluable? I told you at the beginning of this thing, it took sacrifice for you to get saved. And that was by Jesus Christ. But it's also going to take sacrifice for you to make it to heaven. And that's by you. You want to make it to heaven? You want to sit down beside your king? You've got to be willing to say, nothing in this world is going to stop me from seeing my king. I've made up my mind. I've counted the cost. I'm going to run this race no matter what happens in my life. What happened to the people who would pray all night and get a word from God? What happened to the people who were willing to live their lives on the mission field for God? What happened for the people that were willing to get off those things that they were supposed to be on so they could sacrifice themselves for God? Now, I told you at the beginning, I have hope for this generation. Yeah, I live in this generation. I can tell you, I see the struggle. I see it. It's in every young person. You can't tell me it's not. Because I've been there. I've been there before. I've been there where God convicted me of something I shouldn't have done. Or because I was doing something I shouldn't have been doing. And I wasn't willing to lay it down. Tell you this, there's some things that were in my life that weren't sin, but the fact that I paid more attention to them than I did going to church, there's a sacrificial issue, and I had to make myself right. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's rough, but it is the most rewarding thing that you will ever do. You ask any man that has laid their life. You ask any man who has laid their life down for the cause of Christ. Don't ask me. You ask any man who's been preaching the gospel or any saint of God who's been serving him for a long time. You ask them if it was worth paying the price. It was worth every sacrifice. Earthly possessions, they'll fade away. Your relationships, either you're going to go down a road that you should go down, get married to them after God said not to, or you're going to end up breaking up anyway. Might as well go ahead and do it now. Come on. You're in that social group, amen, that you feel socially acceptable in, and God keeps telling you you need to be in church and you need to make sure that you're sacrificing yourself. You're watching TV and you're on Facebook and Instagram instead of reading your Bible and praying. This is basic entry level sacrifice. Is it not? Is it not? This is daily things. That's why Paul says, I die daily. I don't wake up and do Austin's will. I wake up and try to do God's will. That is my point. If my wife would come back to the piano, you can sit. We are so willing. Listen to me. Don't look at her. Listen to me. We are so willing to come into church, to lift our hands, to worship God, to pay our tithes, to pray down at the altars. We are so willing to do whatever our pastor says. We are so willing to pay attention in Sunday school. We are so willing to have some form of knowledge in our lives about the Bible. But as soon as we see the price tag that's on salvation, we're not willing to pay that price. I was in, I believe it was Kohl's the other day, looking at some suits. And I like this suit. Very nice suit. It's blue. It was on the clearance rack. And I was excited. Very nice suit. It was the exact size that I needed. Well, I picked it off, started checking it out, went to go ask somebody if this was real. It was almost too good to be true. Come to find out, that suit, just the jacket alone, $700. I'm not willing to pay that price. I'd go K&G and buy three suits for $300 at that. I'm not willing to pay that price. But a lot of the times we have that mindset, it's going to cost that much. You require that of me? You want me to lay that down? I'm not willing to pay that much. But he said, lay your lives down. Lay your body down as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. It's what we should be willing to do. It's our reasonable service. If everybody would stand. The price tag of salvation. I feel the Holy Ghost. Are you willing to pay the price? Are you sincerely willing to pay the price to obtain salvation? Are you going to be able to say, I don't care what is going on? Give me Jesus and I'll be satisfied. What's that song say? You can take this whole world, but give me Jesus. You've got to understand that salvation is with sacrifice. And you need not adopt that idea in your mind that it's without sacrifice. I tell my group, and I'll tell it here, once you get saved, your will does not matter anymore. What you want and what you desire, your passions, doesn't matter. God, what do you want in my life? If everybody would, bow your head and close your eyes. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That is the salvation plan. Now, I know good and well the Lord laid this message on my heart. He's been dealing with me about it for about 2 weeks now. I know it's what God spoke to me about. I woke up this morning and couldn't go back to sleep because God laid such a burden on my heart. There's at least one person in here that this message applies to, if not all of us. Brother Austin, I've been serving the Lord for quite some time now. The Lord's been dealing with me about some things, but I've not been willing. I don't want to pay that price. But I'm tired of playing games. If that is you, no one looking around, if that is you, raise your hand. God, help us to realize the price that was paid for my sins and for their sins. God, help us to realize how beautiful the sacrifice was. God, help us to realize that we have got to lay our lives down as a sacrifice. Now, I'm going to say this. You can look at me. I'm going to say this. I've watched a couple of you. And even though you didn't raise your hand, I know this message is for you. Can you really say, if God asked you to abandon your mom and your dad to go on the mission field in Africa, would you be able to do it? Could you willingly say yes? If God asked you to do something, get rid of something that you found extremely valuable, would you really willing to be say yes? If you can't, we need to find ourselves a place in this altar and ask God to help us to have a heart of sacrifice. Come on, church, let's gather around today.